God rewards those who seek him. This brought us to what is our fifth in the subtleties of seeking. And we've, over the last 6 weeks or so, we've looked at four. This was the fifth one, the fifth subtlety of seeking. This is review, but true seeking brings reward, but don't seek the reward, seek what? Him. Boy, there's a common natural human tendency there. When we hear reward, ooh, our ears perk up. I like the sound of reward, don't we? And so then we start to maybe think, well, I'll just seek him because of the reward. That's not the truth. What it says is if you seek him, we have to remember there's a subtlety there that we don't slip into just looking for the good that the rewarder can give us. We got to seek the rewarder, not the rewards, okay? Let's flip now. Let's go back to the Old Testament. Let's finish up this text in Isaiah. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there, Isaiah 58, somewhere close to the middle of your Bible. Otherwise, all the verses, they'll be up on the screen. But let's read this first verse. We're only going to hit three verses this morning. Three verses, six rewards. All right, let's read Isaiah 58, 12. There's three rewards here packed into this little verse. And your ancient ruins, again, he's saying, what are the rewards of somebody who is going to seek him? And your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You're going to see some R words here in this. The R words are key in this verse. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach and the restorer of the streets to dwell in. We're going to look at three rewards just from this little verse. And the first one is this, reward number 9. If you have your sermon notes, you're going to see there's a little place to fill this. And reward number 9 is this, a true seeker of God are always rebuilding. True seekers are always rebuilding. What it said in the text from Isaiah, it said, your ancient ruins will be rebuilt. Your ancient ruins will be rebuilt. Think of something that used to be ruined and now has been made new. Think of something that in the old days was destroyed, but now it's been rebuilt. Can you think of anything like that? Well, I can think of one thing. Isn't that us in Christ? Haven't we in Christ, hasn't our ruins been made new? Haven't we been rebuilt? True seekers are always rebuilding, and part of that is because, listen to this verse, 2 Corinthians 5:17. We've been rebuilt. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. In Christ, when we put our faith in Jesus, we have been rebuilt, haven't we? We've been made new. The old mark is gone, and the new mark, now with Christ dwelling in me, is come to life. God has rebuilt me, remade me into a brand new. Now, can't we forget that sometimes? Don't we forget that we are new? Don't we fall back into old patterns? Don't we fall back into old ways of thinking? Do you have any old thinking do you ever do that? Thinking who I used to be? And then sometimes your behavior follows that way of thinking. Don't you do that? Thinking that the bitter thinking and angry thoughts and jealousy and greed and pride. Don't we sometimes go there? Okay, maybe it's just me. None of you are shaking your head. Yeah, it's like I'm a foreigner here, like I'm an alien. I'm the only one who... Okay, I'm going to say it this way. I have old thinking sometimes. We go there. We have to remember one thing. We are a new creation. Amen? We got to start thinking like who we are. We have to start living like the person that we've become. The old is gone. The new has come. We have been given freedom. We have been given life. We have been given peace and joy. And this is who we are because we're a new creation. The old has passed. The new has come. So now what do true seekers do? That's who we are positionally. But how do true seekers live this out practically? 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Think about building here. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. Look at that. Encourage one another. Do you guys know, is anybody in your life who's a little discouraged? Do you know anybody who could use a little encouragement this week? Do you know anybody like that? Well, write their name down. That's going to be your job this week. Write their name down. Look at people who have been built up now are new builders. If we've been rebuilt, if we've been made into a new creation, now it is our job to build one another up. How do we do that? Primarily through our words. Primarily through the words that we use when we're around people. We can build each other up also through our actions. But we now, because we have been made new, because we have been rebuilt in Christ, now we are rebuilders. Told you a couple of weeks ago, what if we all went out and loved someone who could use, what if we all went out this week and built somebody up, one person each day? What if we made it a goal this week of saying, you know what? I'm going to find one person that I'm going to let my words or my actions, I'm going to build them up this week. Somebody who's discouraged, who could use a little encouragement. What would that be like? What would this place, what would this body, what would this community be like if all the believers made it a goal to rebuild? True seekers are rebuilders. Let's go to reward number, we're on reward number 10 actually, second one this morning, but reward number 10. True seekers raise up future generations. True seekers raise up future generations. This is a positional truth. We have been made children of God. We've been adopted into His family. We're not natural born citizens in God's family. I don't know of anybody who's Jewish. If there's any Jewish people, then you're more of a natural child. But the rest of us as Gentiles, we've all been adopted into His family. We've been welcomed in because of Jesus. 1 John 3:1. We've become children. Look at this. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God. And so we are in Christ. We're God's children. And if we've been raised up, if we've been called the children of God, now it's our job to raise others up. It is now our job to raise our children up to that new place in Christ. Now, who are our children? Well, I think one aspect of our children is very easy, our natural or our biological children. It is our job as Christian parents to raise our children. We're going to have a dedication of two kids in the second service. And it's our job, and they're going to be dedicating themselves to raise up their children in the Lord. And that's our job as parents. But it's also the spiritual children. Paul called Timothy his child in the faith. As far as we know, they had no real relation. But what was he saying? The people that we invest in spiritually become like our spiritual children. And it is our job, if we've been raised up to become children of God, true seekers will always raise up more people, other people, to become children. Okay, so now Mark, hang on a second. You're telling me if I seek God, true seekers, if I'm a true seeker of God, it's going to benefit my kids? Wait, I thought I was just supposed to go to church because it was good for them. Have you heard that? I'm going to church because it's good for my kids. They need it. Hold on a second. I think that might be reversed. When I seek God, me being a true seeker will have an impact on future generations. So my seeking of God will impact and influence my children. I'm so thankful for my grandfather. His name was August. August Pavola found Christ not at a young age, as a middle-aged man. Pass that on to my dad. You've seen him. He comes here once in a while. His name's Jerry. Jerry Pavola. Jerry Pavola was a seeker of God. And he built his house around that. And that influenced me. And my goal, and boy, I'm praying about this, and you got to pray for me in this. My goal is that my children, that as I seek God, it will have an impact on my kids. Now, does that mean that it's a guarantee if I seek God, my children will automatically follow Him? Is that a guarantee? Is that something that's just written in stone? No, it's not a guarantee. And some of us know that all too well at certain times of life. But what are we doing? We are increasing our odds. When we are become God seekers, we are increasing our odds that our children will follow in His footsteps and follow in our footsteps, seeking Him also. True seekers raise up future generations. Let's look at our next reward. This is reward number 11. Reward number 11, the last one from this verse. True seekers bring peace. True seekers bring peace. If you remember that from that text, there was two R words that I'm combining into one reward. It said this, true seekers repair the breach and they restore the streets to dwell in. Those two R words combine to be peace. They repair the breach. Now, what is a breach? And if your breach needs repair, what's going on? Generally speaking, in this context, it was the wall that surrounded Jerusalem. And when it needed repair is when it had some holes or some cracks or some places that the enemy could very naturally come in and attack. So it was a place where the city became vulnerable. It was a vulnerability. Now, I want us to think about this in terms of who we are in Christ now. We had a vulnerability because of our sin. Sin caused a breach in our lives where we were vulnerable because of the sin that we had. What did Christ do? Christ came in and he repaired that breach, didn't he? When Christ died on the cross, he took care of our sin, he repaired that breach, and then he restored us to new places, to a new position in him. So Christ was our repairer, and Christ is our restorer. Listen to Romans 5:1, and what did that bring us? Here's what Christ repairing and restoring did for us positionally. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because Christ repaired that vulnerable place, because he restored us, we now have peace. True seekers bring peace. How does this play out practically in our lives? Two ways. True seekers do two things. True seekers of God do two things. Number one, they identify places in their own life where they may be vulnerable. True seekers of God are not just walking through life blindly. They are consistently and constantly evaluating their life and saying, here's where I'm vulnerable to sin. I'm not worried about losing my salvation, but I am worried about sin having a too big of a hold in my life. And so true seekers are always evaluating that, saying, you know what? When I'm around this person, I am vulnerable to sin. Why? Because they bug me. And I'm vulnerable. I'm vulnerable to anger. I'm vulnerable to frustration. I'm vulnerable to pride. I'm vulnerable to bitterness. I'm vulnerable to all of these other things when I am around this person. And we all have this person. Don't look so holy. Stop it. We all have these people that maybe just there's just this natural rub. And that's just being human. And I'm vulnerable. And true seekers identify and they say, I got to be extra careful when I am here. I have to be extra. Or maybe it's a certain place. Maybe on my way home, there's this place that I love to stop by, and I know it's not good for me. Pick the place. I don't care. But I know that I'm vulnerable when I'm going to. And true seekers will say, I'm going a different way home. True seekers are constantly evaluating. Or maybe the computer at this time of the day. I know if I go onto this website, it's going to lead me to this website. I need to disconnect to connect. Amen. True seekers identify places in their lives where they are vulnerable. And they take proactive steps to avoid at all costs that vulnerability. They don't just blindly plow through life. True seekers are constantly evaluating every aspect of their life and saying, am I vulnerable here? Am I vulnerable here? Am I just blindly going here? And they're thinking, constantly thinking and asking the Holy Spirit, God, lead me, show me, reveal to me places that I'm vulnerable. And then the second thing that true seekers do is they also are more clearly able to see areas where other people are also more vulnerable. Because the other truth of all of us is we all have blind spots in our lives. And I had a blind spot, and I'm going to share it in a few weeks. I had a blind spot in my life that God revealed to me recently. And I'll share that with you. We all, my friends, have blind spots. All of us do. And a true seeker not only is able to see those blind spots, but they are able to evaluate and they're willing to go and share maybe what they see in someone else's life. Now, we know this and we've talked about this before. From Matthew 7, Jesus talks about the order. Do we fix other people's blind spots first or do we work on our own? Which one? Work on our own. Jesus said, take that log. Okay, somebody referred to it as plank eye disease. Take that log out of your own eye first. So you can see clearly to take that speck out of your brother's eye. But when we are constantly evaluating, God, where am I vulnerable? And then we're helping other people with places where they're vulnerable. We become people who bring God's peace. We then live at peace and we bring God's peace. Because if someone is in a place of vulnerability or if someone is going down the wrong road, you know as well as I do, because we've all been there, we're not at peace at that place, at that point in our life doing that thing that we're doing. True seekers bring peace. I want to read you a quote from one of the commentators on this idea of being a repairer of the breach. We live in a broken world. In every direction, there are breaches that are wide and deep. There are broken hearts and broken homes. And that which once was sacred is but a waste place. It's ruined. Whereas once there was a carefully guarded fence around the sanctity of life, family life, sex life, abundant life, now there's just a waste place. The wall of protection is in ruins, and life has lost its meaning. True seekers will be people who repair those breaches. They will be people who bring that repairing work to a community. Reward number 11 is peace. All right, that's it for verse 12. Let's go on to verse 13 of Isaiah 58. Now this verse, verse 13, is there's no rewards here. This is just a reminder, and I love this. It's a reminder that's squished right between two verses of rewards. If you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways or seeking your own pleasure or talking idly. Now he's not done with the thought, but I want to pause for a moment to say this. Right in the smack middle of all these rewards of seeking God, he puts a warning. Right in the middle of every reward that there is to being a God seeker, he says, oh yeah, don't forget. Don't forget to not seek the reward, but seek me. He puts it right in the middle. Right in the middle of all these wonderful rewards, he gives us a reminder because he knows we're human. And even in the midst of this, he says, don't forget to seek me. All right, let's go on. Verse 14. It's our last verse in this chapter, our last verse that we're going to study in this whole text. Three rewards in this verse. Verse 14, then, three more benefits. Then you shall take delight in the Lord. You know that's going to be one of those rewards. You shall ride on the heights of the earth. That sounds pretty good. And I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. We'll get into that one. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Three rewards in verse 14. This is reward number 12 in our series of 14. True seekers find true delight in the Lord. Reward number 12 is delight. True seekers of God understand that the greatest joy and delight in this world is in knowing Jesus. Can I get an amen? Now, true seekers, that will move from something that sounds good and spiritual and religious, because that does sound good, spiritual and religious, and you said amen, to becoming a reality. It will become a reality. It'll move from a spiritual thing that sounds good and I say amen to something that is the greatest joy in my life. The greatest joy and delight in my life can be in knowing Jesus. And I will tell you this, a Christian does not automatically know that. But a true seeker of God, somebody who diligently pursues Him, understands that the greatest joy on this planet, the greatest delight that you can find, is in being a seeker. Listen to how Peter put it. I think Peter was a seeker, pretty convinced that he was. 1 Peter 1:8, though you have not seen Him, that's Jesus, you love Him. I love that statement. Though you haven't seen Him, you love Him. That's odd, but that's good, isn't it? Though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him. I mean, you believe in something you don't see? You believe in something you don't see? Yep. Yep, we do. And you rejoice. Look at this. You rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with joy. Is Jesus my true joy and my true delight? You know, the world that we live in, our culture, has a lot of ways of defining joy, of defining delight. What gives delight? What gives true joy? I made a list of what it's not. Where true joy is not found. This is just my little list. True joy is not found in money, in cars, or in houses. It's not found in success or intelligence or power or prestige. True joy doesn't come from getting drunk, getting high, or getting wasted. It's not having the perfect face, the perfect body, or even the perfect kids. It's not financial security or social security. It's not having friends or being funny or being looked up to. It's not. It's not any of those things. True joy and the ultimate delight in life is found in knowing Jesus. Can I get an amen? Let's look at reward number 13. Two left. Reward number 13. This is an interesting one. True seekers ride high. True seekers ride high. Here's how Isaiah put it. He said, I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. Now I had to think about that. I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. The only time in all of Scripture that that expression is used. It's the only time. The only guy who ever used it is Isaiah. He said, I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I wanted to get a New Testament perspective on this. Brought me to the book of Colossians. Listen to how Paul puts it in Colossians 3, 1 and 2. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek those things that are above, where Christ is. Seated at the right hand of God, set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. Look what it says. If then you have been raised, that is past tense. In Christ, we have been raised to new heights. Amen? We've been raised. Past tense. We have been raised up to new heights in Christ. Because of what he did and us trusting in him, he's raised us up to new heights. Then he said, by the way, seek those things that are above. Pursue those things that are above, not those things that are on the earth. That big list that I just spewed off to you, those were all things that are of the earth, all things that are of this world. Our job, if we've been raised in Christ, our job is to seek things that are in Christ, where he is. And then he said, set your mind on things that are above. A true seeker, their mind, their heart, their noses are, guess where? Right in his word. That is where we, as people on this planet, find, search for, seek out the things that are above, is here. True seekers are passionate, diligent, understand, people who want to know what God says to them. That's why it's not a religious thing that we do to check it off the list. It is something that we are pursuing. We are pursuing Jesus through his word. So what do we do now? We seek the things that are above. We spiritually rise above the problems of life. Does that mean we don't have problems anymore? Does that mean that, yeah, now you're smiling at me because now you know that I'm talking foolishness. Christians, we, followers of Jesus, still have trials and troubles, don't we? Yeah. In fact, I think we could pull together some verses to say we probably have more than the average person. I think I could show you that in Scripture. I won't go there this morning. But I think we could show that. That the reality is we probably have at least our fair share and maybe more. But if we've been raised with Christ and we're riding high, we see those problems, trials, temptations from a different angle. Don't we? You ever get a letter in the mail from the IRS? You enjoy that? Students, you ever have to bring home a bad grade? I mean a really bad grade? You ever been rejected by a close friend? Betrayed? You ever had a really sick child? How about the premature death of a loved one? You ever been accused unfairly? You have a prodigal child in your life? An unexpected bill? Bad news. True seekers experience these things because we all experience these things. But people who truly seek the Lord see these trials from a different angle. They see them from above. They see them. They see them. They experience them. They live them. But they ride high. They remain at peace. They experience God's peace when God's peace doesn't make sense. Now, is that 24/7? I'm not saying that. But they have an avenue to experience peace in the midst of trial. They have a place that they can go to for comfort when they have nowhere else to turn. True seekers find hope when the world would say that situation is hopeless. True seekers always have hope. Let's go to our final reward. This is reward number 14. We're closing with this. True seekers experience the heritage of Jacob. True seekers, reward number 14, experience the heritage of Jacob. What is the heritage of Jacob, you may ask? Good question. The heritage of Jacob is the heritage, really, of his grandfather, whose name was Abraham. You've probably heard of Abraham. This is the heritage of Abraham. What is the heritage of Abraham? Let's read about it. Genesis 12, first three verses. This is the promise, the heritage, the covenant of Abraham. Genesis 12, verses 1 to 3. This, by the way, is the first call of the first child of God. The nation of Israel, the Israelites, this is the very first time they were called out, set apart, pulled away as a people group. This is the very first calling out of the children of God, the first promise that God made to his children. Genesis 12, 1 to 3. Now the Lord said to Abram, by the way, this is Abraham, but God just hadn't changed his name yet. Chapter 17, he's going to change his name to Abraham. That's significant, but we won't go there this morning. The Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Do you see the heritage of Jacob? It is a promise, a covenant of blessing. It is a promise and a covenant of God's blessing. Now, the interesting thing is that promise was made if the nation of Israel, if the Israelites would obey God, they would be blessed. They would be blessed beyond belief if they would simply obey God. Did they obey God? Sometimes. Does this change in the New Testament? As New Testament followers of Jesus, is our blessing based upon our obedience? Let's read a verse from the New Testament, Ephesians 1:3. Our New Testament perspective. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Wait a minute, that's past tense. That's past tense. Who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. In the New Testament, the Israelites would be blessed if they obeyed. Their obedience meant their blessing. In the New Testament, our blessing is based on Christ's obedience. Can I get an amen? Our blessing, past tense, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places is not based on our obedience. It is based on Christ's obedience. Because Christ was obedient to the Father, he went to the cross. When we trust in him, we have been given every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Now, is that good news? Yes, is the right answer. I want to give you our last subtlety of seeking Jesus. Think about this for a moment. We seek Christ for the blessings we've already been given in Christ. Think about that. We seek Christ for the blessings that we've already been given in Christ. Okay, that's subtle. That's a little mysterious. Positionally, who we are, we have been given every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. We can't earn that. We can't do anything to get it. We have been given it, past tense, in Christ. You are all complete. You are perfectly spiritually complete in Christ. His righteousness, we talked about that last week, is now your righteousness. So why do we seek him? We seek him to practically live out the blessings that we have now already been given. We seek him so that we can live out the blessings, so that we can live out who we already are. So that we can, on a daily basis, live out this reality of people who are already pre-blessed. We can now live the people that God has created us, past tense, already to be. We now seek him to fully realize the incredible inheritance, blessings, and gifts we've already been given. Pretty good chapter, isn't it? 6 weeks on the subtleties of seeking. 6 subtleties. 14 verses, 14 rewards. So let me ask you a question that I closed with last week. Is it worth it? Is it worth it? Is it worth the cost of becoming a true seeker of Jesus? Amen. Thank you. I want to close with the 14 rewards. Here's the 14 rewards that Isaiah said we have of being a true seeker. True seekers reflect His light. They bring His healing. They live His righteousness. They forget the past. They hear His voice. They understand their way. They thrive in the desert. They rebuild what was ruined. They raise up future followers of Jesus. They bring peace to this life. They experience life's ultimate joy and delight. They ride high above this world, and they fully realize the spiritual blessings they've already been given. Is it worth it? Let's seek Him this week, shall we? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we cannot thank You enough for who You have made us to be. God, I believe that had we been born as one of the children of Israel back in the day, we would have lived an up and down life just like they did. And so God, I want to thank You for this time period that we were born into. The time period of Your Son Jesus and His redemptive power, His work on the cross. God, because now You have given us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. God, I pray that we seek You diligently, not to earn these things, but so that we can live out who we already are. God, I thank You for making us complete in You. And I pray, dear Father, that we would seek You passionately with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, so that we can live out that reflection that we were created to be. God, we love You and we thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.